Hello and welcome to the Knee Pain Guru podcast series. This is Bill Paravano. And on these podcast series each week, we go over challenges and issues that individuals have with chronic knee pain. And this week is going to be another Q&A. We're going to go over several questions we've received over the past week or so. And one of the disclaimer I want to cover beforehand is none of the information here on this podcast is to be construed as medical advice. This is information that I've used to help both myself after my knee injury as well as countless individuals over the past 10 or so years. However, the information here is that we're making sure nothing is broken or torn first. So if you have a knee injury, make sure you go to your doctor. Make sure you have the x-ray, the CT scan, the MRI. Make sure the doctor checks it out and to rule out that anything is broken or torn. Because if it's broken or torn, it's important that it heals first. And that is what we're able to work with. And what I've found is that many people fall into this category. Many individuals fall into this category of having nothing that's broken or torn, and they still have knee pain. Or, in my case, something was broken or torn. I tore the ligament in my left knee. I tore two pieces of cartilage in the left knee as well, and I had the surgery to correct that issue. However, I still had lots of pain. So people fall into those two major categories. One is nothing is broken or torn, I still have pain, or something was broken or torn, it's been fixed, and I still have pain. So these are two major categories that the information that I'll share here in this podcast is going to benefit those types of individuals. So without further ado, we're going to move on to the first question. I have a question is, thank you. Hi, thanks for your advice, but I want to know something. I can't fold my leg. When I am going to fold my leg, it hurts. What can I do in that condition? I can walk, I can swim, but the only problem is I can't fold my leg properly. When I'm going to do it, it hurts. My problem is when I went to play cricket, I was running and then suddenly twisted and ended up I couldn't walk. I got an MRI test and the doctor said that needed to do an operation. And they gave me a date in September and I'm worried about it. What can I do in this case? Sujan. Okay, Sujan, here is the deal. There's not enough information in here to really allow me to answer the question properly without a few assumptions. One is I'm assuming that something has been broken or torn. Something is going on in your knee that the doctor is suggesting that you need an operation. However, I don't know enough. There's not enough information here that you gave me about the MRI test to let me know of how to approach it. However, what I can say is that if something isn't broken or torn, okay, if you have something going on and you can't fold the leg, now this is something that happened to me as well. What happens is when we twist or turn or make a sudden move and it causes a sharp pain in our leg, your body will tense up to protect itself. Just like when you touch a hand to a hot stove, the body will pull that hand away really quick. It's the body's natural reaction, a reflexive reaction. And what can happen many times is when you injure yourself like that, the body tenses up the very same way. So if you're twisting your leg, that means the ankle, the bones in relationship from the bones in the lower leg to the foot, which is your ankle, is twisting slightly. The bones in relationship from your lower leg to your upper leg, which is your knee, are twisting slightly. And then the bones in your upper leg with your pelvis are twisting slightly, which of course is your hip. And if anywhere along those lines it's already tight, there's something going on there from, you know, it could be it's a hot day or it's a cold day or you just got into, you know, got a call from a bill collector or something. The body holds tension. So when you stress this and make a twist in that situation, you'll have, you can have a sharp experience in one of the joints, like your knee. And what happens is the body tenses up to protect itself. It's a functional injury for that experience. It's functional, meaning it protected your knee from getting injured further. Now, if something tears, that means it could have been much worse. However, if you get a slight tweak and there was nothing torn, the body is still holding on to that tension pattern to protect itself. It's functional for the injury. It's dysfunctional for you to go walk or lay down or sit or run or jog or whatever it is without pain. Because what's happening is now the bones aren't exactly lined up. They're kind of a little twisted, literally. So what happens is now you go to fold your leg. Now you go to bend your knee. And what's happening is this tension pattern in your ankle, in your knee, and in your hip is preventing your leg from folding properly. Now, that many people walk around with these types of injuries. And the really interesting part about those types of injuries is our brain has this mechanism that we ignore it. We push through the pain. We live in a society that it's almost honored that we would go ahead and continue pushing through when we have experiences like that. So what happens is these injuries continue to build up over our life, and then we have worse and worse issues as we get older. So the point of what I'm saying is that you can find, and I talk about this in my virtual clinic, I get in more and more detail about how to release these tension patterns in the specific joints, on how you can use the body's reflexes, the very same way it held on to tension, you can get it to let go of tension by taking it in the direction of the tension. And the nervous system will unwind and let go of that tension on its own. It's actually quite a simple concept. Quite simple principles, yet it has amazing results in the body. And then the body can unwind and let go of that tension on its own. Now, this is an extra added bonus. Let's say, Sujan, you did tear something in your knee. Let's say there's something going on and the surgery is justified. Those tension patterns still exist. Those, you still have those tension patterns in your leg. And if those tension patterns aren't addressed, it takes longer for your body to heal from that injury. It takes longer for your body to be able to get water into that area to flush out the toxins, the anything that's going on there, because it's holding on to that tension pattern to protect itself. So this is my idea, my theory, my approach when addressing arthritis. Because now the bone, because of the leg is holding a tension pattern differently, one of the bones may be wearing away. Like you have the two knobs that come down at the part of the lower leg, if that's not sitting balanced, it's going to wear on one side or the other more. and that acidic state is now sitting in that joint. The water isn't able to get in there to flush it out. Very much like if you were to squeeze your fist. Squeeze your fist really tight for 30 seconds and then open your hand, and you're going to see your hand go from white to pink because you were squeezing your hand tight enough to get the blood out of that area. And of course, the blood is what needs to get in there to flush out what's going on in your knee. So, Sujan, hopefully that gives you a better picture of what's going on in your knee. Send me in more information. I can give you a better approach, better understanding of what's happening. So, okay, on to the next question. I have had lots of kneecap dislocations. I am just sick that it happens, and when I take a wrong step, mostly if I turn my forget to lift my foot up, my kneecap pops out. I can also just move my kneecap easily in the direction. I tried everything. I went to the gym, but without any progress, it still pops out. What are good exercises for the kneecap not popping out again? Well, I can get a person's name here. The big piece here is that the exercises that need to happen usually don't take place in a gym. Because what people talk about when they go into the gym is lots of sets and lots of reps. You want to build up the strength. They talk about building up the muscles in the leg. However, the kneecap is not held in place by muscles. The kneecap is held in place by tendons, specifically the patella tendon. And if your kneecap, that tendon is loose, what ends up happening is that it isn't holding the patella, the kneecap, in place properly. So when you move, the kneecap is floating, and what ends up happening is the kneecap will pop out. However, like I was talking with Sujan just a little bit ago, there's a bigger tension pattern that's going on. There are bigger issues that are taking place in the body that need to be addressed. So in order for the kneecap to pop out, there needs to be tension in the ankle, the hip, and the lower back as well, that one aspect of that tension pattern is holding too tight, and another aspect of that tension pattern is holding too loose. So as you're doing the exercises, and I get into a lot more detail in this in my ebook, Stop Your Knee Pain Now, what I address is how to specifically strengthen the tendons and ligaments in the knee joint. And when you strengthen the tendons and ligaments in the knee joint, it brings stability to that joint. It allows the joint to hold that patella in place properly. And the main difference in the exercises are the fact that the exercises are going to be held for a longer period of time. It's not a set or a rep. It's the amount of time that you hold the tension of that exercise that makes the difference. And generally how it works is that the muscles fatigue after a period of 7 seconds. And this is crucial to understanding how to strengthen the tendons and ligaments in the joint. Because once the muscles are out of the way, the only thing you have to work with are tendons and ligaments. Unfortunately, whenever someone is working out and they get to that point of being able to work tendons and ligaments, they're doing weight. And when tendons and ligaments are fatigued, it's very, very easy to injure them. So if you're doing reps and sets, what ends up happening is you can really damage and stretch out the tendons and ligaments worse if you're doing more than the body is able to support itself with. So that's part of it. Your body is very vulnerable when you get to working the tendons and the ligaments. And when you're working the tendons and the ligaments, consequently, a big part of that is the body will begin to shake. And like I said, that's usually when people stop doing the exercise because they're doing too much weight for their joint to be able to support. And you see a lot of issues with bodybuilders and people who do steroids because the steroids cause the muscles to grow faster. The tendons and ligaments don't necessarily grow faster. So a lot of the injuries that you'll see with people who lift lots of weights will be in the connection from the muscle to the bone, which is your tendons, or in the joint themselves, which would be in the ligaments. So that's a big piece, is to understand the concepts that I talk about in my book. They're principles that I go over. It's not like this specific exercise or that specific exercise as much as this is the approach to address why the kneecap pops out. And in understanding that, then you have tools, because there's so many exercises that can be done in a way to build the tendons and ligaments in the joint. So hopefully that answers your question. And I'd suggest getting my ebook, Stop Your Knee Pain Now, and that is going to be extremely helpful for you in terms of getting an idea, a real good solid direction to go in order to help your kneecap from popping out. Okay, next question. Hi, Bill. We are in the UK and climb a lot of castle steps. Have now got a lot of pain in the back of the knee when I climb stairs. Can you help? Cheers, Rob. Rob, absolutely. Remember, this is really tying in with the first two questions. We're talking about tension patterns. And remember how I was saying that when the body feels pain, there's some sort of injury, something going on, the body will hold on to a tension pattern. And consequently, what happens is, and this is a really, really common injury, it's called a femur override. And that's when the bone in the upper leg will ride slightly over the top of the bone in the lower leg. So visualize this. A World Cup is going on right now. And so there's a lot of football players that are running down the field. And then all of a sudden they stop real quick. So what happens is the foot is planted on the ground. And the foot will stop first. Then the bone in the lower leg will begin to shift slightly over the top of the bone in the foot. And then what happens is the bone in the lower leg stops. And now the bone in the upper leg slides slightly over the top of the bone in the lower leg. So you have this this sliding forward of these bones in the leg. So what happens now is that these bones are now holding tension patterns to protect itself from getting injured further. Functional for the injury, functional for climbing lots of castle steps in England. However, it's dysfunctional for you to walk those steps without the pain. So now what needs to be addressed is the tension in the relationship of the bones in the lower leg and the bones in the upper leg. I hope this is making sense. So what I address this more in the passive stretching section of my virtual clinic. I go into the details on, there's actually one video specifically that I talk about the, going up and down steps. Because visualize this in your head. The bone in the upper leg is shifted forward and on top of the bone in the lower leg. So it would go to prove that the bone in the lower leg is sticking backward, which is exactly where you will be feeling the pain when you walk up and down those steps. So that's kind of the approach, how I look at what's going on in the body and how you could begin to address those tension patterns on your own. So like I said, I cover this a lot in my virtual clinic. That's a virtual knee pain clinic, actually, that if you purchase my ebook, and you can go to freekneepainreport.com to get into the webpage to be able to purchase my ebook. And now with the for a limited time, purchasing my ebook will get you into the virtual clinic for a month for free. So, Rob, give that a shot. Let me know how it goes. And we will we can go from there. Okay, next question. Good morning, sir. My doctor took an MRI scan of my left knee and found a ganglion cyst. No meniscus or ligament tear. So what kind of treatment for me? Regards, Manikandan. Okay. Ganglion cyst. Depending on how long the cyst has been there, and this is kind of just a stab in the dark, a lot of times I believe the cysts will form as a result of the tension, like I was talking with Rob about, or when I was answering Rob's question, is that the cyst will form in an area of the body that doesn't flow freely, meaning the blood and the oxygen can't get in there and clean it out. And generally, if you have an injury and the knee is holding tension in that area, the body is unable to flush those toxins out, and the toxins, you could think of it, you could think of it just like a river or a stream. And if that stream starts slowing down because there's not enough water, you will get areas that leaves and twigs and sticks and things like that will get stuck. And as a result of those leaves and twigs and sticks getting stuck, there's pockets of water that sit there. And then what happens is you get mosquitoes that start laying eggs in there. You start getting larvae in there. And then you get algae growing. And this happens in nature. And our body is very much the same way. So when you have not enough water or a tension pattern holding, namely in your knees, that is not allowing the body to clean itself out properly, I believe you get these cysts that'll form. Diet plays a huge part in there, especially if we're eating foods that are heavily processed that the body doesn't know what to do with. Your body doesn't know how to get rid of that stuff. What ends up happening is the stuff sits in these areas of tension, and then you develop issues. So there's one of two ways. Well, actually, there is a couple ways of dealing with this. And one is change your diet, get rid of the tension in the knee, address that, and drink more water. See what happens to the cyst at that point. If the cyst does not disappear, if the cyst does not begin to go away on its own, then I discuss with your doctor as far as what can be done to remove the cyst. So that is my take on that issue. And there has, and I've had a cyst, however, not particularly in my knee, that I did change the water. I did change the nutrition. I changed all of those different things, and the cyst was still there, and it was important for me to go get it removed. So I do believe that doctors play a very valuable role in this equation in you getting over your chronic knee pain, yet it's not the whole picture. I believe it's important for you to begin to take control of what's going on in your life, what you put in your body, what type of exercise you do, what type of stretching you do. Breathing plays a huge role into that as well. So that's all extremely important. So try that, see what happens, and then keep me posted. Okay, I have a question from Darshini. I have been suffering from osteoarthritis about 10 years now. Sometimes it's very painful. My right foot has got a big bit crooked too. Regularly, I do a lot of exercise as well. I am 55 now. When the pain is more, I take some painkillers like Voltron. I am thinking to undergo a knee replacement at the age of 60. Is it okay? As advised by me, I drink a lot of water. Darshini. Okay. As far as whether you want to go undergo the knee replacement surgery, that's your call. That's between you and your doctor. However, I do believe there's lots of things you can do to avoid undergoing a knee replacement surgery. And just because you get a knee replacement surgery doesn't mean that it's going to get rid of the pain. Understand that. That's very important. Surgery does not equate no knee pain anymore. Surgery means whatever was broken or torn is fixed. And that's something that is not always clear. So, especially if what you're dealing with your knees is one knee or both knees, in order for the knees to hurt, the rest of the body has to hold tension a certain way. Just because a bionic knee is put in place of that doesn't mean the tension pattern in the rest of your body is addressed. I've seen this happen with clients that I've worked with. It's like, okay, I'm going to get the knee replacement surgery. They get the knee replacement surgery, and then on one knee, and then a few years later, they start having problems with the other knee. It's like the tension pattern was still there, and now because you have a plastic and metal apparatus inside of the knee so you don't feel the one knee hurting, the body has to throw that tension somewhere. The body has to compensate somewhere, and it usually ends up compensating in another part of your body that ends up being as much, if not more, painful than the initial place. So you can postpone it and continue to have surgeries until the end of your life, or you can address the issue now and look at what's going on now. And I look at five areas, and it's a real common sense, at least to me and many of the clients that I've talked with. It appears to be very common sense. In the first two ways you look at it was with water and nutrition. Make sure you have enough water so your body can clean itself out, so it can do all of the normal daily functions and processes that it needs to do, like digest food and pump blood and make sure oxygen is gotten throughout your entire body. And then you need to look at nutrition. And nutrition is not necessarily what you think it is. I believe you can get it straight from food. You don't need to get supplements. You need to look at locally grown farmers, get your food straight from the farmer, someone who's raising the food themselves, where you can shake the farmer's hand, you know exactly where it's coming from. You know exactly how they're treating the animals. You know exactly how they're treating the plants and all of that. And I believe that is definitely the way to go. And this, the water and the nutrition, sets up the foundation for your body to begin to heal what's going on in your knees. The next piece is to look at exercise, stretching, and breathing. And the exercise is very important because you need to do the correct exercises properly. And sets and reps do not cut it. I covered that in one of the earlier questions, is that you need to look at strengthening the joints, strengthening the structure to bring the structure back into balance. However, when you have a situation like osteoarthritis or something going on in your knee, you have something that's pulling too tight and something else that's not pulling tight enough. So you have an imbalance in the body, an imbalance in the structure. So by just replacing the knee joint is not going to bring balance back to the structure. There's still something going on. So we need to loosen what's tight and strengthen what's loose through proper stretching and proper exercises. And then the last piece is breathing. And breathing plays a huge role in the amount of pain your body feels. The tension that your nervous system experiences, because if you really think about pain, pain is when the nervous system is being interfered with, when the nervous system is being squeezed upon. And when the nervous system is squeezed upon, it causes pain, sends a signal to your brain that you have pain. And you can begin to control this through breathing, proper breathing. And what's even more important is when you're doing the exercises, the strengthening exercises, you breathe with those exercises that allows your body to relax the tension in your structure simultaneously while you're doing the breathing. So, anyhow, you look at water, nutrition to set up the foundation, and then exercise, stretching, and breathing to bring the body back into balance. And when you reduce the tension in the nervous system, it plays a huge role in allowing your body to recover quicker when you sleep. So it sets up the conditions to make getting out of knee pain, osteoarthritis, any of the symptoms, any of the diagnoses, other than when something is broken or torn, it sets up those conditions so the body is able to heal what's going on in the knees. It's actually quite simple. Simple doesn't necessarily mean it's easy, especially if we have habits about eating food or exercising or whatever the case is. It can be a little challenging. However, it's pretty simple. So, anyhow, hopefully that answered your question. And make your choice from there. So, okay, I got a question here. Hello, Bill. Thank you for your speedy response. My name is Anderson, a national basketball player for Grenada, a Caribbean island in the West Indies. I've been playing the sport for approximately 14 years, throughout which time I have never experienced any problem with my knee. During recent training for a regional tournament to be held within the upcoming weekend, I began to experience a sharp pain during sharp sudden movements and in instances when attempting to jump. The court services in Grenada are solely concrete, and I am now questioning whether this could be a possible cause. Regular walking does not generate the pain. In fact, my knee feels perfect until I begin to jump, slide, etc., as stated above. So, Anderson, thank you so much for your question. A big piece here is what I was talking about earlier with the kneecap popping out. You're looking at a tension pattern that is holding on, the body is holding on to protect itself from getting injured further. So you look to address that tension pattern through passive stretching exercises. The passive stretching exercises allows the body to let go of the tension on its own and creates the space so the nerves are not being interfered with. Oh my gosh, Anderson, I forgot the rest of your question here. Here we go. Upon researching possible treatment and reasons, I am tempted to believe that I am now suffering from jumper's knee. However, attendance at a local physiotherapist's office, athlete training specialist, I was informed that this may be far from reality. No x-ray was done, yet I have been receiving continual treatment, mainly hot and cold therapies, and a seemingly nerve-tickling, shocking sensation treatment. To date, my knees feel worse after every session than it did before the actual sessions. With my tournament so very near, I once more sought answers and came across your link. You seem to know about this, and I do believe you are my final hope in finding a solution in such a short space of time. I will greatly appreciate it if you can respond to this mail as soon as possible. Possibly convenient for you to do so. I look forward to this response, and thank you for the time and attention. Anderson Charles. Okay, Anderson. Well, reading the rest of your question, my answer really doesn't change because what it is you're looking at a tension pattern. I cover this in my virtual clinic, especially in the passive stretching section. I have this part in the passive stretching section where it's like, well, if it hurts on the inside of your leg below your knee, do this. If it hurts on the inside of your leg above your knee, do this. If it hurts on the inside of your leg or outside of your leg above your knee, do that. So I specifically go over that, how to address tension in specific areas of that people have the tendency to experience pain. I go over, like I was talking with Rob about going up and down stairs. I have a video on that. I have a video on addressing pain in the kneecap. All of these are stereotypical areas that people will experience pain in their knees. So by looking at addressing the tension patterns in those specific spots, it creates the space that takes the pressure off of the nerves that are causing the pain. And when you create that space, now your body has the ability to heal. The blood and the oxygen are capable of getting into that area and now flushing out the toxins and healing the knee quicker. It backs the tension off of your nervous system, so now your nervous system allows you to sleep. It's all tied together. You can't really separate one of these spots without looking at the other spot. You can't talk about water without addressing nutrition. You can't address exercise without addressing breathing and vice versa. You can't just do exercises without addressing stretching. Because if you're just tightening a dysfunctional tension pattern, the body continues to compensate more. So it's all really tied together, and it's a really holistic approach to looking at all of the dynamics that can take place in a knee joint. And believe me, I know. I had, boy, the pain in my knee was off the charts, and so I had to figure out something because the drugs wouldn't work for me. I'd take the Percocet or the Vicodin, and then I'd vomit. Well, I had the choice between no pain in my knee and vomiting, or not vomiting and pain in my knee, as far as the drugs were concerned, and that just wasn't an option. I just don't like hanging my head over the toilet on a regular basis. So anyhow, that's my approach. It works tremendously. I've seen so many people benefit from it, and I believe it's the future of how the body will heal. It needs to be an all-encompassing approach, and it needs to make sense because there's so much information out there. And what I've seen as far as when people throw information, it's like, well, you know, when an article or a study that's done about knees or whatever it is, it's like, well, this is just the case. And this is what happens. So if you have a knee injury, Well, then you're just going to get arthritis down the road, and then you'll have to hold on long enough until you can get surgery. And we'll give you drugs or shots until that happens. Well, what kind of option is that? That doesn't make any sense. That's not logical. And just because a person has letters after their name, mean that should be the gospel truth as to how to approach what's going on with the knee? I think there needs to be a merging between the conventional approach and an alternative or holistic approach of looking at what's going on in the body. And until that happens, there's still going to be a lot of people in pain. Because what happens is there's so much that cannot be fixed by drugs or surgery. And it needs to be an understanding when a doctor is giving this advice that there's a limitation of his knowledge. Doctors aren't educated about nutrition. Doctors aren't educated about a lot of things. And if you ask someone who's the only way they've been trained, and they've been trained on damage control, when something is broken or torn, you want them in your corner. You want them helping you. However, if something isn't broken or torn, then I believe there's going to be a huge limitation as far as what they're going to be able to help you with without causing more harm. So that's kind of my approach, my thinking, and it's important to understand where one's role ends and another's role begins. And in doing so, that is extremely empowering to the individuals who need the help most. And those are the people with knee pain. So, and there's a lot of people who need help. It's just, this is a knee pain podcast, so we'll talk about knee pain. So, okay, we have a question from Tony Garcia. Hi, Bill. Thank you for the email. I've fully torn ACL in my right knee and some meniscus damage. Okay, I'm laughing because that sucks. Okay, the original injury happened in 1990 when I was a competitor at a karate tournament. At the time, to repair the knee would have meant open knee surgery with a long recovery time. I opted for a meniscusectomy done arthroscopically, and it was fine after the rehab. I wore a DonJoy ACL brace for karate practice. In 1996, I decided to have the ACL repaired as medical advances has come a long way in 6 years. I chose to have an autograft from the patellar tendon, of the same knee. The surgery went well. I was up and around in 6 weeks and was able to return to karate in 4 months. The doctor didn't seem to think I needed the brace, so I opted not to use it anymore. Fast forward to 2009. While demonstrating a simple workout, I felt my knee buckle on the landing. It swelled for a day or so I iced it. Didn't think much of it until the cracking noises started. I returned to my original ortho from the 90s. He had me take an MRI of the knee and found the ACL had completely torn again. Now I wear an upgraded version of my old DonJoy during training, but the cracking and grinding continues to bother me, and now sharp pain in the front part of the knee where the graft was originally taken is starting to affect my karate classes. If I were just a student, I wouldn't have much of an issue, but being that I'm the owner and chief instructor of the school, I don't have the luxury of R&R and rehab time. I've tried glucosamine and other stuff like MSM, but nothing seems to work. Any suggestions would be greatly appreciated. Cordially, Tony Garcia. Okay, Tony, here's the deal. I'm a martial arts instructor as well. I've been fitted for those DonJoy braces. Those are just monstrosities. I believe it's important that DonJoy brace is going to keep your leg in place for the most part. The ACL, gosh, what approach. I'm thinking
that the ACL is not there anymore, which really makes it difficult to do things without that leg dislocating. That's going to be a real challenge. Strengthening the existing tendons in the knee will be beneficial. Addressing those tension patterns to allow the more space in the knee, that like I was talking about before with Rob and the guy who was having his kneecap pop out, you're looking at a tension pattern that's causing the pain. Looking at those five areas: water, nutrition, exercise, stretching, and breathing. Exercise, you know, the exercises, my approach is that you really only need to do it a couple minutes a day. I mean, like literally 2 minutes, time minutes, once in the morning and once in the evening. And when you really get in and do those exercises, you're going to build up the tendons and ligaments, at least the ones that you still have in the knee. Gosh, I am a big fan of, as far as pain goes, I like a homeopathic supplement called Trameel, T-R-A-U-M-E-E-L. If you go to the Knee Pain Guru website, I have a link on there for what I'm talking about. It comes in both a sublingual tablet and a topical gel or cream. Now, the Trameel is not going to heal the ligament. However, it's going to help with the pain, and that's what I used for, you know, I've done martial arts for 20-some years, something like that. So anytime, any bruising, any pain, the Trameel helps me deal with the pain. Let's see, what else? I would look into prolotherapy, P-R-O-L-O therapy, usually done by osteopaths. Find a local osteopath. And they've had some really cool, I have a buddy who's an osteopath in San Francisco, and he was saying that, and this is something that I have yet to verify. However, he was telling me that they had a conference up in the Northeast in the U.S. where they were doing prolotherapy injections in ACLs, ligaments in the knee, even the ones that were completely severed. And the idea with prolotherapy is you're injecting an irritant into the joint at the point where the tear has taken place. And what it does is it causes localized inflammation at that point, which brings all of the the blood and the swelling and all of that to that area to cause it to heal faster. That's the idea with swelling. And he was telling me that they've been able to actually cause ACLs to regrow. Now, like I said, I don't have verification of this. This is what I've heard. That would be a direction that I would look in as far as ACLs go. Now, knowing what I know now, if I knew back when I first injured my knee, I definitely would have checked out prolotherapy, especially for an ACL tear. However, when I injured my knee, I don't know if they were doing prolotherapy at that point. So there's technology that's coming out so fast that is an approach. So I think get Trameel for pain. I check out my virtual clinic and get into the passive stretching section of the virtual clinic that's going to help as far as the tension patterns that are existing in the knee. I'd look up a local osteopath or do some Google searches on prolotherapy to kind of give yourself a someone to talk to, someone to bounce that off of. I've been working on getting my buddy to do an interview. However, he's extremely busy, so it's kind of difficult to get him on a call to answer questions about prolotherapy. However, I will continue to work on that. So Anyhow, Tony, I wish you the best of luck. Let me know how that goes. Keep me posted, because I have a special place for martial artists with knee injuries. So, okay, Tony, thanks a lot for the question. Okay, question from Gail. Does cycling help arthritis in the knees? It can, depending on a lot of other factors besides cycling. I believe cycling is very beneficial for knee pain, knee injuries, especially if you have the foot attached to the pedals, because then you get the full range of motion of the joint, and it builds strength both pushing down and pulling up, and that's one of the biggest problems I've seen with people who cycle, is that they only push down. They're only pushing down on the pedal. They aren't pulling up, which causes a problem. You know, could be, you know, you're only using one set of muscles and you're not bringing balance to the body, which can cause other issues down the road. So cycling can help arthritis in the knees. You got to look at the other areas too: water, nutrition, exercise, balanced exercise, stretching. Make sure you're stretching the body out. Because I've seen people get out of knee pain just because they stretch a little bit. You know, it's a lot of times it's just simple things that can get the body out of pain, and simple things that only take minutes a day. So, Gail, hopefully that answers your question. It says, hi, Bill. Next question. Hi, Bill. Thanks for the tip. However, I am on to line dancing and would like to know whether this type of exercise will aggravate the knee bone. Would appreciate your advice. Well, thanks, Chong. The only way to tell if line dancing will aggravate knees is if you do it and it hurts. And if it doesn't hurt, then it doesn't aggravate it. It's kind of, this actually brings up a point that's kind of an issue with me. It's like everything we've read, everything we've been told on television and a newspaper and all that, it's almost like how we feel, what we experience in our own bodies is invalid. And I believe that's a huge disservice to humanity, that we doubt ourselves as to if something is good or bad for us. I mean, sometimes we need a little direction. However, if we do an exercise and it hurts, then it's probably a good bet not to do it. And if we do an exercise and it doesn't hurt, well, then it might be a good idea to do it. So, I think that that's a really big piece, and that's something that I'm hoping, one of my goals is with the virtual clinic, is that this is going to teach people how to understand what's good for themselves, what benefits them. The more you're empowered with the knowledge and understanding of your own body, the better off you are, because you're going to know what to do and what not to do in whatever situation that comes across. That you come across, you're going to know if cycling is going to be good for your knees, because you're going to actually feel it. Unfortunately, I think many people live a sedentary lifestyle. They don't do a whole lot. So then when they go to do something, the tendons and ligaments are weak in the joint, and they're real easy to get injured in that space. We don't do a whole lot, and then all of a sudden it's a nice sunny day, and we go out to the park or we go to a hiking trail or something, and after several months of not doing anything, we go run 5 miles. And that's too much. It's like we need to build up. It takes time for the tendons and the ligaments to adapt to strenuous activity if it hasn't been kept up for a period of time. So that's important to take into consideration. So I'd try the line dancing, go easy, If it bothers the knees, take it easy. I definitely check out my book, get into their virtual clinic. I got a ton of videos in there. It goes over those five areas, and I even have other sections. I call it a anything goes section, which means I talk about stuff like the prolotherapy and stuff like that in there, which gets into more details on other options. So, okay. And another question, last question of the day. Dear Bill, I really appreciate these valuable advice, this valuable advice coming from you. I also like to tell you that 2 days back, I went through a surgical operation with endoscopy to remove a part and arrange other parts of the internal cartilage of my left knee. Now, I have some pain, especially after the operation. However, I need some advice from you on how to recover full mobility at the earliest, because I am planning to relocate from Egypt to the Arab Gulf region, as I got a new job offer from an employer there, and I really don't have a lot of time. Many thanks, and kindly accept my best regards, Waleed. Well, Waleed, congratulations on your job offer. The fastest way, especially when you have just had a surgery, and I believe it's very important to create the conditions around what's going on with your knees so they can heal the fastest. And a big part of it is, of course, water and nutrition. I covered that before. I would also look at the tramiel that the body would be able to begin to heal the inflammation and stuff like that. I think the rice therapy is going to be beneficial as well. The rest, ice, compression, and elevation, that's standard as far as doctors and physical therapists go. I believe universally or internationally that would be pretty standard. It's going to keep the swelling down. It's going to allow the body to heal what's going on in the knee quicker. However, the reality is that you had surgery, and that's traumatic to the body, and it's important that you give the body time to heal. There's nothing that really gets around giving your body time to rest, and that's kind of the issue that we run into initially, is the fact that we don't give our bodies proper time to heal, proper time to rest. And in doing so, you end up with a situation that continues to get worse. So that's really important. You know, give yourself time whenever you can rest to rest. I've been in a reading a book recently on sleep, which I believe is extremely valuable. It's referred to as Lights Out, Sleep, Sugar, and Survival, and how. I'll probably get into it more next week on the call, how important it is to sleep without noise, without light, and all of that, and how we've gotten out of the rhythm of sleeping, and it causes a whole host of issues. Like, scientists are doing studies on this, and that when we don't have proper sleep, of course, people know you don't have proper sleep, it's not good. Yet this is really digging deeper into how it affects our mood, how it affects our body's ability to heal itself, how it affects our craving for foods that cause us to get fat, how it ties in with diabetes, type 1 and type 2, weight regulation, you know, a whole host of issues. And by getting a standard amount of sleep per night, I think they were talking about 9 to 9.5 hours per night, it gives the body the proper rest and recovery that it needs in order to get over what's going on in the body. So that's something to consider. And if we don't allow ourselves that time to do so, then we kind of do it at our own peril. and we can eat all the food, all the right food, all the right, drink all the water, proper water, do the exercise, the stretching, the breathing and all that, yet if we're not getting the right amount of sleep, then the body can't heal because it really requires that those processes to be able to heal what's going on. So that might be an addition to my 5 points the more I read this book. So anyhow, I'm going to see about getting that link to that book up on my website. So, okay, well, that's all the questions for today. Thank you so much for being here, and I will see you on the next call. Have a great day. Oh, and by the way, if you do have any questions, steps you can take to start getting over your knee pain, go to freekneepainreport.com, download the free report. I talk about those 5 points in my report and how important they are. And after that initial page, you have an opportunity to purchase my book, my ebook. I get into the strength exercises on those. And then, excuse me, you also have the opportunity to get a month free in my virtual clinic that goes over those 5 sections in depth, really in depth, because I have a ton of videos in there. So, okay. Well, thank you so much, and have a wonderful day, and be well.